Ever wonder why some startups skyrocket to billion-dollar valuations while others with seemingly identical ideas crash and burn? The mythology of startup success is filled with stories of college dropouts building tech empires from dorm rooms. But what if these narratives are largely fiction? After a 4-year research journey analyzing 30,000 data points across 65 factors for unicorn startups, Ali Tomaseb has discovered that much of what we know about billion-dollar companies is wrong. Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg may dominate headlines, but they're statistical outliers. The book has become required reading at top business schools and a favorite among tech executives like Eric Yuan, Zoom, and Tony Fadell, Nest, iPod. Its data-driven approach has resonated deeply in Silicon Valley, where investors like Keith Raboyce and Alfred Lin praise its myth-busting insights that challenge conventional startup wisdom. Let's explore what truly separates the unicorns from the also-rans. The image of the 20-something tech genius launching world-changing companies from a garage has captured public imagination, but the data tells a different story. The median age of billion-dollar startup founders is actually 34. Half were that age or older when starting their ventures. The age distribution spans from 18 to 68, with no strong statistical correlation between founder age and ultimate success. While younger founders, under 34, did create slightly larger valuations on average, the difference wasn't statistically significant. Older founders typically brought more entrepreneurial experience to the table, with 2/3 having previously started companies. First-time founders among the older group often compensated with substantial executive experience managing large teams at established companies. Health and biotech founders skewed older, average age 42, but both enterprise and consumer tech companies had founders across all age ranges. This contradicts the notion that only millennials can capture certain markets. Successful founders come from every generation. The data also challenges the widely held belief that solo founders are at a disadvantage. While dual founders, 36%, and three co-founders, 28%, are more common, one in $5 billion companies was founded by a solo entrepreneur. Studies even show solo-founded Kickstarter projects had higher success rates and pre-order revenues than team-founded ones. Solo founders often succeed because they have stronger previous track records. Many had already founded, scaled, and sold businesses before. For co-founders, clear responsibility division, early CEO designation, and strong communication prove more important than simply having multiple people. Interestingly, 45% of billion-dollar company co-founders either attended the same school or worked at the same company previously, suggesting compatibility matters more than complementary skills. The technical versus non-technical CEO debate also yields surprising results. Founding CEOs of billion-dollar startups were split almost exactly. 50.5% had business backgrounds and 49.5% had technical backgrounds. The second-ranking executives were more likely technical, over 70%, typically serving as CTO or chief scientific officer. Contrary to conventional wisdom suggesting technical and business founders should pair up, when the founding CEO was non-technical, the second founder was actually more likely non-technical too. Companies with either two technical founders, like Coinbase, or two non-technical founders, like Lyft, have reached billion-dollar outcomes at similar rates. Even the taboo against related co-founders proves questionable. Despite venture capitalists typically avoiding startups with co-founders who are related by blood or marriage, several billion-dollar exceptions challenge this bias. Stripe, brothers John and Patrick Collison; SolarCity, brothers Lyndon and Peter Rive; Tanium, father-son duo; VMware, married couple; and Houzz and Eventbrite, both founded by married couples. Contrary to popular belief, most billion-dollar startup founders aren't college dropouts. While stories of successful dropouts like GitHub's Chris Wanstrath and Dell's Michael Dell capture attention, the data shows 36% of founders hold bachelor's degrees and 22% have both bachelor's degrees and MBAs. Only a small percentage are actually dropouts, fewer than those with PhDs. The dropout narrative persists despite evidence showing most billion-dollar founders complete their education. While famous dropouts like James Park, Fitbit, Matt Mullenweg, WordPress, and Evan Spiegel exist, they're the exception rather than the rule. Most successful founders have at least a bachelor's degree, with many holding advanced degrees, especially in biotech and healthcare sectors. Educational backgrounds between billion-dollar founders and random venture-backed companies show no significant differences, though both groups have higher educational attainment than the general population. This suggests that while education matters, it's not the determining factor in startup success. While Stanford leads with 38 billion-dollar founders, compared to Harvard's 26 and MIT's 20, many successful founders graduated from schools outside the elite ranks. Surprisingly, as many billion-dollar startup CEOs came from schools ranked outside the top 100 as from top 10 institutions. Stanford's prominence likely stems from its Silicon Valley location, which provides access to internships and industry connections. Schools with strong entrepreneurial cultures like USC, University of Michigan, and Brigham Young University produce more successful founders than their rankings might suggest. Though the median university ranking for billion-dollar founders was higher, 27, than for random startup founders, 74, many successful entrepreneurs came from lesser-known institutions, suggesting the startup ecosystem is relatively agnostic to educational pedigree compared to other industries. Consider Ari Beldegrun, who built multiple billion-dollar biotech companies while maintaining his UCLA professorship. After Agensys sold for $537 million, he founded Cougar Biotechnology, focusing on development rather than research by repurposing shelved molecules. Their prostate cancer drug Zytiga was acquired by Johnson & Johnson for nearly $1 billion and now generates $3 billion annually. His third company, Kite Pharma, developed engineered cell therapy for cancer and received FDA approval in just 34 months, leading to an $11.9 billion acquisition by Gilead Sciences. His academic credibility and network proved invaluable in building these successful ventures. Aspiring entrepreneurs receive conflicting advice about work experience. Some advocate for corporate experience, while others suggest starting companies immediately. The data shows both approaches work, with the average billion-dollar founding CEO having 11 years of work experience before launching their unicorn. Two distinct paths emerge, either working for yourself or gaining experience at prestigious companies. About 30% of billion-dollar founding CEOs never worked for others, while 60% of those with employment history worked at Tier 1 companies like Google, Microsoft, or Goldman Sachs. Google produced the most billion-dollar founders, 14, followed by Oracle, whose alumni founded companies like Meraki, Lending Club, and Workday. However, many successful founders like Credit Karma's Nicole Mustard lacked prestigious credentials entirely. The relationship between previous employers and startup success isn't necessarily causal. Top companies may simply attract entrepreneurial talent. Interestingly, many billion-dollar founders also came from venture capital backgrounds, suggesting investor experience provides valuable perspective. Perhaps most surprising, most billion-dollar startup founders lack direct industry experience in their ventures field. Only 50% of founding CEOs and less than 30% of founding CXOs had relevant work experience before starting their companies. This pattern varies by sector. 75% of healthcare/biotech founders had domain expertise, compared to just 40% in enterprise tech and 30% in consumer startups. What mattered more than domain expertise were transferable soft skills. Managing teams, hiring talent, raising capital, and leveraging professional networks while being able to quickly learn a new industry with fresh perspective. Nat Turner and Zach Weinberg built Flatiron Health, a $2 billion cancer data company without any medical background. Their previous venture was in advertising technology. They spent over a year researching cancer while working at Google after selling their first startup, leveraging their Google credentials to access medical professionals. Through persistent networking and questioning everything as outsiders, they pivoted from a business intelligence tool to a real-world evidence platform that helps pharmaceutical companies make better drug decisions. Serial entrepreneurship significantly increases the odds of building a billion-dollar company. Almost 60% of billion-dollar startup founders had previous founding experience, compared to just 40% in randomly selected venture-backed startups. The most valuable experience comes from having previously scaled a company to modest success. 70% of billion-dollar company repeat founders had at least one previously successful venture, versus 24% in the random group. These super founders typically built companies that either exited at $10-plus million or generated $10-plus million in revenue. The pattern appears across diverse industries and geographies, with founders like the Collison brothers, Stripe, Howie Liu, Airtable, Mudassar Sheikha, Kareem, and Ari Beldegren, multiple biotech companies, demonstrating how previous founding experience, even with modest outcomes, provides crucial advantages in networks, funding access, and avoiding mistakes. The Collison brothers sold Octomatic for $5 million before founding Stripe, valued at $35-plus billion. Uber's founders, Garrett Camp and Travis Kalanick, brought complementary startup experiences. Camp had sold StumbleUpon to eBay for $75 million, while Kalanick had founded Scalar, which faced bankruptcy, and RedSwoosh, sold for $19 million. Their combined experience and investor networks proved invaluable when launching Uber. Many successful founders show persistent building patterns. Howie Liu created eTax, sold to Salesforce, before Airtable, and even Mark Zuckerberg had built multiple projects before Facebook. The data suggests the best preparation for creating a multi-billion-dollar company is first building a $10-plus million company, and before that, creating smaller projects. Even founders who faced initial failures, like Clubhouse's founders with 9 failed startups between them, can eventually succeed through persistence and learning. Max Mullen of Instacart exemplifies founders who achieved billion-dollar success on their second attempt. After his first startup, Volley, lost direction and was sold, Mullen left within a year, haunted by an idea for on-demand delivery. He connected with Apoorva through Brandon Leonardo, who became their third co-founder. Despite investor skepticism comparing them to failed Webvan, they secured funding after Y Combinator. Today, Instacart partners with over 300 retailers, serves 5,500 cities, and has raised $2 billion at a $15-plus billion valuation. Contrary to popular belief, many billion-dollar startups weren't born from founders solving personal problems. Flatiron Health evolved from insurance to cancer data analytics through years of ideation. Instacart's Max Mullen spent years contemplating on-demand services. Okta's Todd McKinnon observed SaaS trends before landing on password management. DoorDash's founder simply wanted to build something for small businesses, discovering delivery needs through interviews. This top-down approach, selecting markets or trends, then hunting for problems, is common but less romanticized than the missionary founder narrative. Many successful startups are opportunity-driven rather than mission-driven from inception, though passion for the product remains crucial. Some originate as internal projects, like Roku and Netflix, from venture firms, Snowflake at Sutter Hill, or academic institutions, Google at Stanford. While at LinkedIn in 2011, Neha Narketa and colleagues created Kafka, an open-source tool to process high volumes of real-time data. After seeing widespread adoption among tech companies and Fortune 500s, they realized the commercial potential. Rather than waiting for someone else to capitalize on their creation, they founded Confluent to provide tools and manage services supporting Kafka. The transition was surprisingly smooth. LinkedIn executives, including CEO Jeff Weiner and co-founder Reid Hoffman, supported their departure, and LinkedIn even made a small investment in Confluent. Pivots are another common origin pattern. Stuart Butterfield exemplifies the power of pivoting. After shutting down his multiplayer game Glitch in 2012, he repurposed an internal communication tool his team had built into Slack, which later reached a $20 billion valuation. This wasn't Butterfield's first pivot. His earlier gaming company, NeverEnding, failed, but its photo sharing feature became Flickr, which Yahoo acquired for $35 million. Most pivots don't succeed. Keith Rabois cautions that radical changes disorient employees and undermine company purpose. Successful pivots often maintain a connection to the original vision while adapting to market feedback. Having runway to execute a pivot is crucial. Companies should remain lean until achieving product-market fit. While Silicon Valley housed just over half of the billion-dollar startups studied, compared to a third in the random group, suggesting historically better odds for Bay Area companies, the other half originated elsewhere. New York and Southern California each accounted for 10%, Massachusetts 6%, with Florida, Texas, Washington, and Utah also producing several billion-dollar companies each. Root Insurance exemplifies successful non-Valley startups, founded in Columbus, Ohio in 2015 by Alex Tim. After working at Nationwide Insurance, Tim created an app-based car insurance company that prices policies based on driving behavior observed through smartphone sensors, disrupting the traditional insurance model from within the industry's own backyard. With hundreds of employees in Columbus, Root went public in 2020 at a $6 billion valuation, benefiting from higher employee retention than Silicon Valley's 9-month average engineer tenure. The startup world often advises founders to build painkillers, not vitamin pills, meaning solve real pain points rather than merely offering improvements. Yet the analysis reveals that while painkillers have better odds, about 70% of billion-dollar startups versus 50% of random startups, vitamin pills can still succeed remarkably. Okta exemplifies a painkiller, solving the critical pain point of password authentication for corporations. Even during the 2009 recession, Okta thrived with its authentication service that addressed a clear security risk. Conversely, BuzzFeed represents a successful vitamin pill, not solving an immediate need, but creating an addictive, entertaining product. Without addressing any specific pain point beyond perhaps boredom, BuzzFeed attracted audiences spending over 100 million hours monthly consuming its content, generating $100+ million in revenue. Nearly 40% of billion-dollar startups focus on productivity, giving customers back time and enabling greater efficiency. Another 20% directly focus on saving people money, like early Airbnb positioning itself as an affordable hotel alternative. The data suggests startups focused on saving time or money have an advantage. They represented a higher proportion of billion-dollar outcomes compared to the random startup group. Among randomly studied startups, those raising at least $3 million, fewer than 40% offered highly differentiated products, while over two-thirds of billion-dollar companies were highly differentiated. This strong variance suggests customers only abandon trusted brands when presented with substantially different offerings. Radical differentiation helps generate press, word-of-mouth marketing, and passionate fans. Tony Fadell, former SVP of Apple's iPod division and father of the iPod, founded Nest in 2010 to reimagine the home thermostat, a product category barely changed in decades. Unlike clunky, rectangular, programmable thermostats from the 1980s, Nest featured Wi-Fi connectivity, a round LED screen, and an intuitive rotating ring interface. The learning thermostat automatically adapted to users' lifestyles to save energy. Google acquired Nest for $3.2 billion in 2014. Market timing is critical to startup success, often ranking second only to team composition in VC assessments. Many billion-dollar companies built on recycled ideas succeeded where predecessors failed because their timing aligned with enabling technologies, regulatory changes, or market shifts. General Magic's smartphone failed in 1995, but Apple's iPhone succeeded 12 years later when technology had matured. Google wasn't the first search engine, Facebook wasn't the first social network, and Instacart succeeded where Webvan had failed during the dot-com bust. Oscar Health, founded in 2012 and valued at $3.6 billion, exemplifies perfect market timing by launching just as the Affordable Care Act created an individual health insurance market. Co-founder Mario Schlosser acknowledges this regulatory disruption was crucial to their success, calling Oscar the only Silicon Valley-like company created by more regulation rather than less. Billion-dollar startups frequently succeed despite facing established competitors. Over half a billion-dollar startups faced multiple large incumbents at founding, while only 17% entered markets with no competition. Data shows startups achieved billion-dollar status regardless of competition type, except when competing against other well-funded startups, which lowered success chances. Eric Yuen founded Zoom in 2011 to fix problems he saw while working at WebEx. Despite competing against giants like Cisco, which owned 50% of the market, Microsoft Skype, and Polycom, Zoom emerged victorious by obsessing over product quality and customer satisfaction. Yuen attributes his success to focusing on customers rather than competitors, building step-by-step, and creating a frictionless video communication experience that made users happy. Sarah Blakely built Spanx from $5,000 in personal savings without ever taking outside investment. Starting with homemade patents and personally handling all operations, she grew the company to $4 million in first-year revenue and eventually reached a billion-dollar valuation while maintaining 100% ownership. While most billion-dollar companies are venture-backed, bootstrapped successes like Spanx demonstrate an alternative path. GitHub exemplifies successful bootstrapping, operating for over 4.5 years before raising $100 million Series A from Andreessen Horowitz. 3 years later, they raised a $250 million Series B from Sequoia Capital before Microsoft acquired them for $7.5 billion in 2018. Tom Preston Werner, GitHub's co-founder, began as a freelance programmer who had previously built and sold Gravatar to Automattic. He partnered with Chris Wanstrath to create GitHub, an online platform for storing and sharing Git repositories. After 6 months of development, they released a public alpha and 3 months later began charging for private repositories while keeping it free for open source projects. This business model worked immediately. Starting at $7 per month for private repositories, they began earning enough to quit their jobs. GitHub maintained profitability, hiring only when revenue allowed. When approached by Mike Maples of Floodgate Capital, they declined investment, questioning its necessity since they were profitable and growing comfortably. Economic downturns dramatically affect startup funding. When the stock market crashed 40% in 2008, VCs advised portfolio companies to cut costs, extend runways, and prepare for scarce funding. Despite theory suggesting VCs should maintain a long-term view, market contractions significantly impact investment patterns. Total venture capital dropped from over $40 billion in 2008 to less than $30 billion in 2009, with pre-money valuations for Series C rounds falling from $40 million to $25 million. Paradoxically, some of the most successful companies emerged during recessions. The 2008-2009 cohort, including Airbnb, Uber, WhatsApp, Pinterest, Slack, Square, and Cloudflare, has generated the greatest value compared to any other year. This pattern isn't unique. Cisco, Amgen, and HP all emerged from economic downturns. Cloudflare, now a multi-billion-dollar web security and infrastructure company, was founded during the 2009 recession and went public a decade later, valued at nearly $5 billion. Co-founder Michelle Zatlyn shares her unexpected journey from aspiring doctor to tech entrepreneur. Despite the gloomy economic climate during a Silicon Valley trip organized by Harvard Business School, Zatlyn had an epiphany after watching startup pitches. If that guy can start a company, so could I. VCs overwhelmingly value the team above all other factors when investing. In a Stanford survey of 900 VCs, 53% cited the team as the most important factor, followed distantly by fund fit, 13%, and product/technology, 12%. When reflecting on their successful investments, 64% attributed success to the team, with timing 11% and luck 7%. Early stage valuations rarely rely on financial models like discounted cash flow. Instead, they're primarily determined by how much money the company is raising, with investors typically taking 15 to 30% ownership in early rounds. For example, a $2.5 million seed round typically implies an $8.5 to $12.5 million post-money valuation. The data shows that about 60% of billion-dollar startups raise their first round from Tier 1 VCs like Sequoia or Andreessen Horowitz, compared to less than 20% in the random control group. This suggests top VCs either help create success or, more likely, have access to the most promising founders. However, this creates a self-fulfilling cycle where well-known firms see the best deals. Even successful startups often face initial fundraising challenges. Airbnb's founders were deep in debt over a year into their company, with Brian Chesky recalling how they pitched to 20 investors offering 10% for $150,000 but couldn't raise a single dollar. To survive, they sold presidential-themed cereal boxes for $40 each, making $30,000 in profits before eventually joining Y Combinator. Billion-dollar startups typically raise capital at a faster cadence than average companies. The median unicorn secured its first funding round just 6 months after founding, and its second round within 2 years. By comparison, the median venture-backed company took twice as long, 1 year to first funding and 4 years to second round, suggesting that exceptional traction and milestone achievement accelerate fundraising timelines for eventual unicorns. Peter Thiel, early investor in Facebook, PayPal co-founder, and Founders Fund creator, emphasizes that successful companies often have differentiated products misunderstood through incorrect market definitions. Google wasn't just another search engine, but the first machine-powered search. Facebook wasn't merely a social network, but the first platform built around real identity rather than fictitious personas like MySpace. For evaluating founders, Thiel looks for polymaths who can discuss multiple aspects of their business with depth, from product details to economic analysis. The Collison brothers of Stripe impressed him with comprehensive knowledge of the payments industry. While pitch quality matters, about 20%, substance and reality, 80%, are far more important. The data on billion-dollar companies dispels common mythology about startup success. Founders come from diverse backgrounds, starting at any age. Half were 34 plus. Technical founders had slight advantages, but non-technical CEOs succeeded too. Solo founders were just as likely to succeed as teams. The college dropout stereotype is rare. Billion-dollar founders were typically more educated than counterparts, with more PhDs than dropouts. Education followed a barbell distribution between elite and non-elite schools. Work experience averaged 11 years before founding, with backgrounds either in entrepreneurship or brand-name corporations. Surprisingly, most lacked domain expertise but succeeded through learning speed and resourcefulness. While Silicon Valley housed many successes, half were based elsewhere. Companies with highly differentiated products, addressing pain points, saving time or money, were more successful than convenience or entertainment offerings. Market timing proved more important than being first, and competition from incumbents wasn't fatal. Over half of billion-dollar startups faced large competitors at founding. Defensibility came through engineering expertise, network effects, scale, brand, and intellectual property. For aspiring founders, the best preparation is to start something. Many billion-dollar founders had previous startup experience. The path often involves multiple attempts before success, with super founders, those with previous 10 million plus revenue companies, having significant advantages in brand, talent attraction, and fundraising. Ultimately, the research reveals that building billion-dollar companies isn't about following a single formula or fitting a specific founder archetype. It's about understanding patterns that increase your odds while recognizing that determination, learning speed, and execution quality matter more than pedigree, technical background, or even domain expertise. The most successful founders are those who build, learn, adapt, and persist, regardless of age, education, or geography.